Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
This is Your Network of Praise, Carlene Prince with you on our Day of Hope, and we are so thrilled to be joining with a special guest during this hour for what I think is going to be a really beautiful, might be even tear-filled at some moments, conversation, but it's going to be a conversation filled with hope, because that is what this man stands for. Let me give you a little bit of his introduction. I'm sure you've heard him before if you've been a longtime listener of Your Network of Praise, but Ron Hutchcraft is joining us this hour. He is the president of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. He is an impassioned contemporary evangelist, speaker, author, and radio host. He has hosted two international youth radio broadcasts and has authored many books, and we're going to actually be talking about his latest one today. For over 35 years, Ron has been a part of people's daily lives through his popular radio program, A Word With You, which we actually air here on Your Network of Praise at 8:30 p.m. on weekdays. And it's heard in over 1,300 outlets across the country and broadcast internationally in the 5 most spoken languages in the world. Ron is, with his late wife, Karen, also the co-founder of On Eagle's Wings, also an arm of his ministry that many of our listeners will be aware of, which is an outreach and leadership development program for Native American and First Nations young people. Now, I could go on and on with the resume, but to me, the most important thing of any person's life that I have any interest in interviewing is that they are a friend of Jesus. And this man truly, truly is. Ron is joining us over the phone. How are you, Ron?
I am doing great, Carlene. And anytime I'm with the folks at Your Network of Praise, I'm having a good day. So if it was not a good day today, it became one now. And there's no day I'd rather be with you than your day of hope.
Oh, thank you so much. We are so thankful to spend this time with you. And you're going to know exactly what I mean when I say this next sentence. This is an interview I wish we didn't have to have, because it comes out of a chapter of your life that I'm sure you wish that you had never had to walk through. But what amazes me about you, my dear friend, always is the fact that you are, as one person who wrote in the foreword to your latest book, it's called Hope When Your Heart Is Breaking, they wrote this incredible statement of you. They said, Ron Hutchcraft is a faithful steward of pain. And then another person in their endorsement also wrote another life-giving sentence that says, with suffering out of control in the world today, this message is not optional. But again, Ron, this is a book I'm sure you wished you never had to write. Would you explain to our audience why that is, what this book, Hope When Your Heart Is Breaking, is about?
Well, that's a good description of it, Carlene. You know, actually, it's a book I never, ever, if you told me I was going to write it, I'd have said, no, I can picture writing about other things, but I doubt that I'll ever write that book. Actually, to understand it and where this goes, and I do want to start by saying that there's some sadness here, but the key word is the word that today is the day of. It's a day of hope. Mm-hmm. So we're going to come back to that. Let me take you back to the genesis of this and why this has become so much a part of my life message now. It's May 15th. It's 2016. It's a great day because it's the graduation of our first grandchild from high school. He was valedictorian. He gave a wonderful Christ-honoring speech to a stadium full of people. And I was getting ready to leave town because I had guys that were going to drive me through the night to get to where I had to speak the next day. Mm-hmm. But I stayed, of course, till he was finished. And Karen and I are sitting there in the bleachers, and I just said, I love you, honey. And she said, oh, I love you. But then uncharacteristically, she teared up. And that didn't usually happen. And we've had a lot of goodbyes. We've had a lot of practice at this. And I said, what's going on? And she said, I'm really going to miss you. Hmm. And I said, oh, don't worry, honey. It's just one. I got to speak one time, and don't worry. It won't be long. I was really wrong. Wow. The next day, in the next afternoon, I was in another state, and my son called and said, Mom's gone.
Wow.
And right in our living room, it was Jesus' time to take her to heaven with him. Mm. And that was the best day of Karen's life, because she got to see Jesus, and she got to see heaven, and it was the worst day of mine. Mm. And it was the worst day of her children's. And it was the worst day of her grandchildren's life. This girl was the love of my life since I was 19. That's a long time ago. Mm. And In fact, I really had to work for her. I actually had to stalk her, I think, is really when I was at college. I showed up everywhere she was in school. And took her a little while to figure out how awesome I was. that was a hard sell. It still would be. But you read the thing about being co-founder of On Eagle's Wings. She was a dynamo. She was a force of love. She was my mirror. She was my compass when I was getting a little lost. She was my best friend. She was my wisest counselor by far. And an awesome laugh they actually picked it up on seismographs in Montana when she laughed, believe me. And when she and her daughter laughed together, forget it. I mean, they thought we were having a major quake. She was really, really a tremendous force. And in an instant, she was gone. Now, if people knew us, they always knew Ron and Karen, Ron and Karen, Ron. It's one word, Ron and Karen. And in a moment, it was Ron. I knew how to do life with Karen. I had no idea how to do life without her. And suddenly, that was to be my future. Of course, in my desperation, I cried out to my Jesus, who is always my ultimate go-to. And a few days, I started a grief journal. And in a way, I guess that was partly ended up there being a book, not just the journal, but the journey that it journaled. I thought, you know what? I need to be recording my feelings and my thoughts. And I made a decision that some might not have agreed with, but that was to be brutally honest about the pain, brutally honest about the grief, not just giving like Christian talking points. Karen's in heaven and we're just fine.
Right.
No, Karen's in heaven. She's really fine. And hallelujah, that's all the difference in the world. But I will tell you, the grief was devastating.
Yeah.
And my heart was really broken wide open. I started this journal, and if you could, if you pick it up, it's a little white notebook, and at the top of one of the early pages, in big bold letters, I wrote something that I was not coherent enough to think even. I know God must have told me to write it. I will not waste this grief. Now, that's going to be pretty decisive here in our conversation, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but and then I prayed, and I said, dear God, if it's going to hurt this bad, and it does, please somehow use it to make me more useful to you and more helpful to other people. All I can tell you is the past 4 years, he has been answering that prayer so powerfully, so dramatically, and so life-changingly for me. I am certainly not the man I was a little over 4 years ago. Almost 5 years ago now, and so here's what I would say. Two things. Number one, grief is awful. Grief is tearing and ripping. Yeah, I felt like I had a bullet-riddled soul, but I read in Psalm 23, "He restores my soul."
Yes,
and I cried out for that, and he indeed does. But I can tell you that here's the difference of grief with Jesus and grief without. Paul was writing to some people who had lost a lot of loved ones in 1 Thessalonians, and he started by saying, we do not grieve. Now, if it stopped there, I'd close my Bible and put it away. I don't know when I'd pick it up again. I said, that's a lie. We do. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, we do not grieve as others who have no hope. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So while grief is weighing down completely this one side of the scale, it doesn't weigh it down completely because there's something on the other side called hope. But it's not hope like wishful thinking positive vibes,
right,
or a philosophy. It's a person. And hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible calls him in 1 Peter a living hope. Not hope an idea, but and it says because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, on the other side of the grief scale is this hope and a resurrected Savior who has crushed death, the only man out of the billions who've ever walked this planet who walked out of his grave under his own power. And so somehow in the resources of this Jesus with resurrection power, here I come with a broken heart, and I'll tell you this, Carlene, a broken heart is an open heart. Mm. I mean open like it's never been.
Mm.
You are defenseless. It is wide, wide open, exposing corners of your heart you probably didn't even know you had.
Right.
You begin to invite Jesus into that with his power and his healing and his perspective and his ability to give meaning to loss, and I can tell you that's where he keeps his promise in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
Mm.
Now, all I can say to that is I could stand on a mountaintop and scream, Amen, because I am feeling Jesus now as I've never felt him before. I've always been good on the cognitive side because I'm a guy. We're left brain, you know. We got the facts, the information. But man, this is my right brain Savior now.
Mm.
I mean, feeling him deeply, feeling him leading and encouraging and literally telling me what to do in the next half hour. And he's always been there, but there's a unique closeness when your heart is wide open.
Yep.
So I've prayed that my heart will never close up again.
Mm.
I want it to heal of the pain,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want it to become a closed heart, because it's so good having Jesus so deep in your heart.
Boy, that is something so amazing, and it reminds me of something that you shared in your book. By the way, we're speaking with Ron Hutchcraft in his latest book, Hope When Your Heart Is Breaking, and I loved this. You talked about how a ministry leader that you respected pulled you aside one day after some of this journey that you'd been walking through and gave you what I think is probably the ultimate compliment. He said to you, "You are speaking from a deeper well than ever before." That's what happens when we can partner with Jesus in the pain. And yeah. I appreciate how you really addressed, too, that hope is not denying the pain or pretending like it exists or putting cliches on top of it. Why is it so important to feel and process the grief with hope so that we can have said of us what this gentleman said of you, that you're speaking from a deeper well than ever before?
Thank you for asking that. I tell you, this is what I call defiant hope, which is a strange combination of words. Who puts defiant with hope?
Right.
Well, defiant hope says, number one, I will not deny this grief. It's tempting to do that because you think you won't hurt as bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back to that in a minute. That is so wrong. Secondly, I will not, but I don't want to be defined for the rest of my life by this loss that I can't do anything about.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the defining of me from now on? So it is, I said in the book, it's a fist in the face of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't have to surrender to the loss and the grief to define me. So and what you're alluding to is this, and this is what I so important. I want every listener to hear this, because so many people have lost something in this past unbelievably disturbing year, disruptive year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and all of us experience loss, and therefore we grieve many times in our life. It isn't always a loved one, but a marriage can be dying.
Mm-hmm.
A dream can die. A dream about your kids, or a dream about your job or your career, or about being married, about having children. Dreams are die. The pain of your past, the abuse, the neglect, the abandonment
mm-hmm.
that you've experienced but maybe never come to grips with, that continues. You continue without knowing it to re-grieve that. You get bad news from the doctor, and you go, my life is never going to be the same. You walked in one way and you walk out of the doctor's office different. So you're going to be different when you have a major loss.
Right.
There is no doubt about it. The only question is what kind of different you're going to be. I say it's like a hammer. You read this in the book. I know,
right.
Carly.
Yep.
But no, don't give it away. But you have a hammer in your hand. You know, does it build? Is it going to build or is it going to destroy? Will it? It could do either one. In my hands, more likely to destroy, probably, but because of my lack of manual skill. But it can do either one.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to decide it? Not the hammer. It's what you do with the hammer.
Yep.
And the hammer that hit me was a sledgehammer that day in May. And someone listening has been hit by a hammer of loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, it isn't going to be the loss that decides whether you have more hurt or more hope. It's going to be your choices from this point on.
Right.
And the first choice to make that you were alluding to in your question is to grieve your grief. Now, you say, well, of course. No, not of course. So many people stuff their grief.
Yep.
Because it hurts so bad,
mm-hmm.
or because they feel like they have to appear strong or whatever. And you don't let your grief grieve. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Let it happen, and they shall be comforted. But that comfort isn't going to come to you if you internalize the grief.
Mm-hmm.
I started my grieving, my grief, within that journal. That was my first externalizing it.
Right.
I got to put this into words. And then to begin to talk to other people about it as well. And Shakespeare said, give sorrow words. That's a lot of wisdom right there.
Mm-hmm.
Give sorrow words. And so it's so important that you get it out, that you get it expressed, get it into the light, that you let the tears come, that you let all the feelings be expressed. Express them first to God. God can handle your anger. He can handle your doubt. He can handle your depression. He can handle your confusion. And so you, as the Bible says, pour out your heart, empty your heart out to the Lord first. And if you can find a support group, one of these wonderful grief-sharing groups that are all over the country, my daughter was helped so much by one, but let yourself grieve. And otherwise, it's going to be like a beach ball. You know, you go to the pool, you go to the beach, and you push that beach ball under the water, it's going to go under. But it ain't going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And the farther down you push it, the higher it's going to go when it goes.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to grief. You push it down. And you cannot push it down indefinitely. Here's the problem, though. It will morph into even uglier things.
Mm-hmm.
Anger, hard heart, rebellion against God, depression,
mm-hmm.
dark. And it becomes something much uglier if you do not allow yourself to grieve your grief. Your ungrieved grief will own you.
Mm.
It will own you. And it will steer you for years to come and not to good places. So it's so important to let yourself grieve. And I'm glad you asked that because when I started to pour it out, I poured it out and people have called it, you know, they said, boy, it was raw, it was honest. Yeah, but I thought this. Who's going to believe the hope I have if I'm not honest about the hurt?
Yeah.
And it turns out that, as one lady wrote after reading the book, she said, you have given us permission to grieve.
Mm. So powerful. And, you know, Ron, for me, what I appreciate, one of the many things I appreciate about this, I actually will call it a holy, sacred writing that you offered us in this book. One thing I appreciate is that you would think, because of the background of this story, oh, this is a book for somebody who has lost a loved one. And you don't stop there. You go through many situations, as you call them, life's hammers, many different blows that can come. And I just want
to... Hope robbers, I call them at one point.
Yes, hope robbers, yes. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about my own experience with this book. I never want to read something just because I need to be prepared for an interview like this. I want to find out what Jesus has to say to me. within, you know, the preparation that I'm doing. And I ended up reading this book. I was able to get a preview copy before it actually came out. So I was reading this in December, which is a time that I am with my family. I go home for vacation each year around Christmas and get to see my loved ones. And I actually wrote a review for your book, and maybe I could just read a paragraph of this to you, because I won't get through it without choking up and I'll lose my words. I'd rather just read the words that I wrote. But I said, "This book is so incredibly helpful to those who have lost loved ones to death. But in my personal experience, what I found is that it is an incredibly healing tool also for those who have lost loved ones to life. In my journey, I have people that I love very much, close family and friends, that have dark struggles with depression, mental illness, and addictions that have gone on for years and years. They seem helpless to help themselves, which leaves those around that love them feeling helpless too, as they watch them make destructive choices over and over again. We don't feel the loss of losing them to death, but rather losing them to their own life, behaviors, and patterns. I was in the middle of portions of my own grief journey with one such loved one when I picked up this book. Some pages helped me breathe again. Others gently coaxed long-held down emotions to surface so that the liberation of tears could finally flow. Other pages helped anchor me in truth, and still other pages helped me feel not so alone, as it is a clear universal truth that each human experiences pain, loss, and brokenness in this life. Loss is common to us all, but hope comes to those who choose it, accept it, and let it wash over them. Ron helps those choices be known." Would you go into some of those choices that we have? I think we feel like we are a victim to the things of brokenness in this life, and we forget the life-giving possibility of the choices that we can make that can help redeem some of the losses we've been through. Would you go through some of those with us?
Well, we have spent a lot of time on that big one of grieving your grief and opening your heart and not closing it up again and inviting Jesus into the really dark, the darkest of corners and most damaged parts of you. And so that's a huge choice. And I would say to someone right now that understand where your marriage is struggling or one of your children is just, you know, breaking your heart with some of their choices, as you said, Carlene, about loved ones there. And then it just, you've had a dream that you've had, and you really thought this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now it appears it never will. Or you've heard something from the doctor that is going to limit you and change how you live, really, for the rest of your life, or perhaps even shorten how long you live. There's a whole section of the book that deals with that when your health is broken.
Right.
And so realize you are grieving.
Yeah.
And realize that's what it is. It is grief. You have lost something that was an anchoring part of you. For goodness sake, then let yourself feel that loss. And you may be frightened to do that and say, you know, I don't know where that will take me. Well, you should be more concerned about where it's being stuffed will take you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's still hanging around inside you, ungrieved, there, but unidentified, unadmitted, and unconfronted, you're just not going to like what it makes you and like what it becomes. Now, beyond that, is to make the choice to share your journey. And this is part of getting it out. Now, I know when you start to share your grief that sometimes people say well-intentioned but dumb things.
Uh-huh.
They say that. They're well-intended. And you know, I don't say to people, even if they've lost their mate, I don't say, I know how you feel.
Right.
I don't know how they feel.
Right.
Because grief is so personal,
yes.
So individual.
That's right.
So, but there are these grief share groups, and there are people who have walked a similar trail. And so look for that. Ask, if you're involved in a church, ask about if they know a place where there is a place where people are walking through the valley of the shadow together. And then I would really, of course, won't surprise you that I'm going to say, open your heart as I did, wide open to Jesus. Make that choice to say, Jesus, we're going to do this journey together, even when I might think, oh, Jesus won't like me if I'm feeling this way right now. No, that's when you really need to open up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And just let him be. I'll tell you what will happen if you do. If you will take that risk, you can trust him.
Yep.
Because anyone who loved you enough to die for you will never do you wrong.
Mm.
So you can trust him as you can trust no one else in this world. You can trust him to go into the deepest corners of your heart. He is not there to hurt you. He is there to help you, strengthen you, heal you, and then start to ask the right question. Now, I'll tell you what I think is the wrong question, not morally wrong. There's nothing bad about asking the question, except you're unlikely to find an answer to it, and that is, what's the first question we ask? Why? Okay, why is probably takes eternity to get an answer to. We have to see these things from the background of eternity in order to get a more of a why. But I'll tell you a question that you'll get an answer to. How can God use this?
Yes.
How can God use this? And so when I said, God, I will not waste this grief, before I'd written a book, before I'd organized my thinking about this and that it's the choices you make after your loss, I had made a choice there.
Mm-hmm.
I was making a choice only under God's leading. I didn't figure this all out. I will not waste this grief. I'm
yes.
going to, Lord, make me something I'm not out of this. And oh, how he wants to do that. And because of our vulnerability, which the devil would love to exploit and take you to dark places, Jesus, is this an opportunity for Jesus to go? Because he goes where he's invited. He doesn't come roaring in. And when you invite him into your deepest hurts and say, God, how can you use this? What do you want to make me that I have not been before? And as I've already said, I'll tell you, he has given me a more intimate, feeling, emotional, in a good sense, emotional relationship with him, where his leading in my life is more specific and more constant than it's ever been before. But not only am I feeling him more, I'm feeling my feelings more, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, guy. Remember which part of the human race I am? I'm from the part that doesn't feel their feelings or tries not to. And the third part is, I feel other people's feelings.
Yeah.
Listen, so many times I've heard about somebody who had a crisis, a tragedy, lost something or someone, and I've looked at my big legal pad with my huge to-do list and went, oh, yeah, but look, I got so much to do. Let me tell you, the legal pad is losing a lot more now.
Hmm.
And you know, when we finish this call, I will be on with a family that's just lost the grandma who was the glue of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm when they go in for the first time to see her in the funeral home, they wanted to know if I would come by phone and pray.
Mm.
And stand with him by phone. Well, you bet I'm going to do that, and much more. So that's the kind of thing that you start to now be more useful and helpful to other people.
Yeah.
Because now God recycles the sensitivity that your pain, your loss, and mm-hmm. your hurt has given you into hope for other people. And this is something only Jesus can do. The Bible describes it as turning ashes to beauty.
Yep.
You can't make anything out of ashes.
Yeah.
Ashes are ashes. Nothing's left. But Jesus makes ashes. Of that May 16th, he has taken those ashes and made them into beauty that is now reaching out to other people. And
yes.
And make. I want to. And I have something to give them I never had to give before. 2 Corinthians 1 says that we comfort others with the comfort we ourselves are comforted with that we got from God.
Right.
Well, guess what? When I lost Karen, within days I had a call from John, a long time friend. Karen and I had been to his wife Nancy's funeral. She, humanly speaking, was gone too young. And he called me, and he said, and he said, I think I know what you're going through. He didn't say, I know how you feel, but he said, I think I know what you're going through. And I said, I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do. And John began to come. He sent me all kinds of resources to help me, and he began to help me walk through the valley he had walked through five years before. What was he doing? The comfort he got from God, he was passing on to me. Now I'm passing it on to other people. You become part of a hope chain.
Uh-huh.
A hope chain that God sets up. And guess what? Who are the greatest ministry to people with broken hearts in our world is people who have been qualified by loss, by hurt, to be the hope givers
right.
in the world. I'd say to anybody listening, you are surrounded by broken people right now.
Mm-hmm.
They try not to show it. But in some part of them, they are broken, and they're broken, and they're wounded. And they'll, you know what? If you're honest about your pain and your battles and the hope you found, you are going to be somebody that they think is safe.
That's right.
And that's what people are desperate for. Because everybody's got an agenda, and everybody's got their thing, and you will be all about them. And by the way, that's one of the choices you make that will help heal you, is what you don't feel like doing, which is reaching out to other people. You say, well, I don't even know what I would do. Well, you know what? Weeks after I lost Karen, my longtime friend Chuck lost his wife, who never made it up the stairs to bed that night, died at the bottom of the stairs.
Wow.
He went down and found her. He was like, why isn't she up here? And I was able to be what John had been for me. I didn't have a lot to give yet, but you know what? I could pray with him.
Right.
By the way, let me tell you the difference between two prepositions, for and with. If I say, Carlene, I'm going to pray for you, that's nice. That might encourage you. But what will help you a whole lot more is if I pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I take you with me into the presence of God.
Yes.
And that means so much more. And whether you say, I'm not very good at that, it doesn't have to be a big pastor's theological masterpiece. It's just this, your heart, you know how to pray because you know what you needed.
Yep.
So you're qualified by what you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says this, he that refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
That's one of my favorite verses. I love it. I know we need to wrap up soon here because you have other things on your docket for the day, Ron, and we so appreciate this time, so we're down to about the last 5 minutes. But let me first take care of a logistical question. If people would like to get your book, Hope When Your Heart Is Breaking, where's the best place for them to go?
Well, of course, you know those folks over there at Amazon. They have it. And Carlene, your review is there, too. So you can read Carlene's review. If you don't want to read the book, read her review at least. But that's a lot of people are getting it from Amazon, and it's a lot of people seem to be needing it in this time that it came out. And then you could go to hopeinyourheartisbreaking.com, which is our website. There's a little video there where I do talk a little bit about the origin of the book. And so there's hopeinyourheartisbreaking.com. And I just have to say, Carlene, and you've not asked me to do this at all, but in this hope-starved world we're living in right now, would I be allowed to say a word about your network of praise?
Go ahead, yes.
Okay, all right. I thought you were going to fight me on it. Well, you know, one of the days I turned on the news few weeks ago, it was interesting that the lead story on every cable network was a truck pulling away from a warehouse. Hello? What's the big deal? The trucks pull away from warehouses every day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. The reason this was the top of the news is what that truck was carrying. On the side, it said FedEx, critical mission or something like that. And it said, and it was carrying the first load of the first coronavirus vaccine. That truckload of hope was the biggest news there was that day. And indeed, it should have led the news. I view what you guys are doing all across that region of the country, Carlene, is you are the truckload of hope. And you are delivering, and this is your day of hope, but you are delivering the hope of Jesus day in and day out. God's people need that hope. You know, sometimes we have Jesus in our heart, but we need him in our ears sometimes. We need to be able to actually hear a voice articulating or singing about him. And I'd say to somebody listening, how many times has that truck stopped at your place and delivered hope to you? It's where you got your load of hope, your hope vaccine for that day you were going through. And yet, at the same time, all day, all night, you guys are delivering the hope of Jesus to people who, when they have a loss, when they are grieving, have nothing on the other side of the scale. They have no one to turn to. You think our time has been difficult this past year. We had Jesus, and it was hard. Imagine doing life without him.
Right.
And they've never had a day with him. So the glorious thing is I know the people at this ministry, and I know people in Christian radio all over the country, but you guys that are listening to these folks, you got something special here. You are, and you may not know how special it is, but I would just say that right now, one thing you can do, instead of just saying, yes, Lord, thank you for them, is that truck that delivers hope, can you imagine if they ran out of gas in that truck and it had never gotten to the people who could die if they don't get it? Well, guess what, folks? When you call your network of praise on their day of hope and step up and say, I'm going to complete the circle that God has blessed me through you, and now I am going to bless back with my gift, you are putting fuel in your network of praise tank so that truck can keep going with hope 24 hours a day to you and to thousands of people who need it too. And you're going to be part of that because you put the gas in the truck.
So kind and gracious of you, Ron. I appreciate that so much, and we'll give a big amen to that. I'd like to close this time by asking you a question, and then I have a challenge for our audience that while you're still on the phone. So again, we'll try to do this in just a couple of minutes here.
Okay.
But Ron, can you tell me, what do you know about Jesus now, having gone through your grief journey, that you didn't know about him before?
I have had everything I've ever said, taught, preached, believed about Jesus, given the acid test. And I can tell you that the anchor holds. This is so real. I am more, if it was possible to get, you know, I'm a pretty passionate guy, but if it was possible to get more passionate about Jesus, or maybe you can tell, even on an interview, to get more passionate about him and getting him into other people's hearts and lives.
Right.
I have had, the fire is ablaze. It's roaring high. And this has just continued to put logs on the fire. And to feel like I have something to give to other wounded and hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we may even not want to help and reach out because we're not sure what we could say or do. You don't have to have any magic words. I can feel with them because my heart has been sensitized. I hate to make this, bring in the Grinch, which doesn't sound very spiritual, but it really is. Here we go. At the end of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, he's taken all their gifts down in Whoville and they're still celebrating. And you remember the book ends, he says, my heart has grown 3 sizes. Mm-hmm. That's what's happened to my heart.
Yeah.
My heart has grown 3 sizes by the greatest broken heart I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady told me years ago, who had lost her husband, I hadn't seen her for the 6 months since then. She came to hear me speak at a conference, and she came up to me, and I did the usual, and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And and she said, "Well, hold on just a minute, Ron." She said, "I want to tell you something." She said, "This time of life, when you've lost the one you love," she said, "this is your final exam.
Hmm.
And either you're ready or not. You can't cram for it."
Wow.
And what I realize more than ever is that our daily time with Jesus, rebooting time, resetting time, refueling time, reprioritizing time with Him to get the view from eternity, not just time, to get our eternity eyes back on and see the events of today and the people of today against the backdrop of an eternity that we will all be in one of two places. That time with Him is not optional.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-negotiable. It's not a rule to keep. It's a relationship to keep warm.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And so that time with Him, what you don't even know, is that you are being prepared by His word to you each morning from the Word of God.
Yes.
Is not only helping you for today, but He is building resources in your soul for whatever life, He knows what life's going to give you, but whatever life is going to hold for the rest of your life, right up until its last moments. So I'd say, don't try to cram for your final exam. You need to be doing your homework every day with Jesus to be ready for life's final exams.
So good. So good. Well, I told you I wanted to end with a challenge to our listeners. And Ron, in my 14 years of working here at Your Network of Praise and many interviews that I've done, I have never once done something like this. But I just feel, as I always do when I talk with you, I'm always near tears because the presence of the Lord is so present in our conversation and the Holy Spirit is so thick. And I've had to keep it choked down a few times here. But you and I were talking just briefly on off the air before we started this conversation, and I asked you how you were, and you mentioned that your bandwidth is pretty full right now. I imagine this book coming out as well as your regular ministry things, and because of how open you have been with this last chapter of your story, I imagine that there are more than enough opportunities filling your plate right now of things to do to be helping people through their loss or grief. And the challenge I'd like to place before our listeners is I would like you to go to where you have a scratch piece of paper, a post-it note, and I would like you to write down these words. And I'm truly saying this because I believe the Spirit of God is telling me to, Ron. I would like our listeners to take a post-it note and write down, "Pray for Ron Hutchcraft," on that piece of paper. I'd like you to put it somewhere. You will see it readily and easily, your refrigerator, in your car, on your bathroom mirror. And I am going to ask some incredible prayer warriors in our audience for the next 30 days to commit to praying for you, Ron, that God will open up unprecedented doors of opportunity. Because if there is one thing I know about you, my friend, it's that you are to your last breath on this earth going to be reaching as many people for Jesus as you can. So that's the prayer challenge that I would like to give our audience. And I'd like to close this conversation with one paragraph from your book, Hope When Your Heart Is Breaking. Ron Hutchcraft writes these words. He writes, "I am living the truth of a powerful promise for the times when a great loss has made the future the great unknown." And then you quote Isaiah 42:16. "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them, and make the rough places smooth. And I love these last five words. I will not forsake them. Ron, thank you for one more time, a conversation and a book and your heart filled with hope for those that are broken.
Carlene, you don't know the gift you gave me by asking folks to pray for me. I am a steward of a lot of opportunity right now, and it is not without its battles, but it is it's an amazing time, and it has come much of it out of what we've just talked about. So truly, thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit. I don't think I would have known to ask for that, but having heard it, I said, Lord, you do know my heart, don't you? And you've put that on hers. Thank you.
Well, I am one who's going to be doing that. I'm going to grab a post-it note myself in my office the second we hang up from this phone call. And again, I'm asking our audience to pray for Ron Hutchcraft for the next 30 days, and let's see what the Lord our God, the worker of modern-day miracles, will do in your midst. Ron,
well,
thank you.
I'm excited because I'm going to be living the answers to your prayers.
Awesome. Hopefully we'll catch up and get to hear some of those. Brother, we love you. We are so grateful for you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Carlene. And you guys are the best. Thank you for not just reaching out to me today, but I know what you had in mind, many of your listeners who you know are going through a season of brokenness and loss right now. Thank you for caring and reaching out to them through this today.
God bless you. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.